Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you, like everybody else, have tuned in today because you just had to know what Buddy West was going to say. And if you're not familiar with Buddy West, he is a legend in the industry. He's from Delaware. And Buddy, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Lee. It's a pleasure being here.
So tell the world, in case there's somebody who's been living under a real estate rock and they don't know who you are, tell them how long you've been in, where you are in Delaware in that tax-free zone, and any other little tiny tidbit they had ought to know.
Okay. I've been in business 33 years. I started October 31st, 1984. It was Halloween. I came dressed like a realtor and I liked it, so I stayed in the outfit. And I've been doing it. Wilmington, Delaware. I sell in southeastern Pennsylvania, Chadsford area, where the Wyeths are from and all that stuff. So it's been a long ride. I had the pleasure of putting together two designations for realtors, the Senior Real Estate Specialist course and the Military Residential Specialist course. So that's been kind of fun. It's been a good ride, and I hope to continue for another 33 years.
So you seriously started on Halloween? That's so perfect for you.
I did.
Okay, so you know the ground rules of the podcast because I know you are a loyal subscriber because I keep putting your friends on there, so you have to listen. So there's only two ground rules. One of them is if there's a guilty person involved, don't name names. And the other one is, of course, I don't mind the salty language, as you know, and as you have fussed at me for many years, but no F-bombs, no GDs, no see you next Tuesday. And only Greg knows the phrase that pays, because if he told you, then he's in trouble. So with that being said, what in the world, out of 33 years of selling and training realtors, can you think of as your top crazy story?
Well, I'm going to give you two. And the first one I'm going to give you is on you have to understand, you shouldn't prejudge people. They teach us that. I mean, our parents taught us that. Don't prejudge people. You can't judge a book by its cover. So one day, this is many years ago, and I get a phone call to look at a listing. And it was on a Sunday, and the Sundays, my wife Betsy and I would go down to her mother's house to have dinner every Sunday. She makes a nice southern dish like fried green tomatoes or something like that. So we're getting ready to go, and I said, well, Bets, why don't you meet me down there because this guy wants to look at a house. So I said, okay, and it's close. So I went to show him a house that we had our sign on, and it was pretty much a high-priced house for our area. So I did, and I pull up, and there's this guy. He looked like he was one of the Grateful Dead. He had long hair. He had like a vest on, jeans, and a plaid shirt. And I'm thinking, oh, geez. So I show him. I said, you know, I'm in for a dime. I'm in for a dollar. So I show him the property. When I come out, he said, there's one more I want to see. It's about 6 miles from here. Do you mind? And I made the appointment to show him the property. And he said, I'll follow you. I said, no. You hop in the car, and then I'll bring you back here because I have to come back anyway. He said, okay, that's fine. So the reason I did that is so I could try to build rapport and find out what this guy's all about.
Sure.
So as I'm talking to him, I said, so will you be paying cash or will you need to obtain financing?
Best Typical. Question ever. So by the way, if you're a listener and you're a realtor, you need to pause, write it down, and then unpause, because that's one of the best questions you can ever ask. Carry on, buddy.
So he goes, oh, I'll be paying cash and I can pay up to $550,000. And I'm thinking, $550,000 cash? I'm thinking, drug dealer. Guy's got to be a drug dealer. What in the heck is going on? So I'm riding around and I show him this other house and he said, I like it. It's in a place called Hokesson, which is in our area, another upper end place. So we get out and he said, I think I like it. I like to buy it. And I'm thinking, oh my God. I said, let me ask. And we get back in the car and I said, let me ask you a question. What made you call me to work with me? And I'm thinking the whole time, drug dealer. And he goes, we have something in common. I'm looking at him thinking, we got nothing in common, dude. There's nothing we have in common. And I said, well, what is that? And he says, we're both writers. And I said, what? Then he said, well, you write a column for the News Journal, which is one of the Gannett publications. I did a weekly column called The Right Direction, obviously The Right Direction being West. So I'm doing the column, and I said, well, yeah, I do. I said, what do you write? And he said, Spider-Man. I said, what?
No, No way.
And I will give his name. You can look it up. It's Dave Michelinie. He was the writer of all Spider-Man comic books. What had happened was there was an illustrator that sends him the pictures, and then he develops a storyline around the pictures that are sent to him. And it was so I'm thinking, oh my God. So he did buy the house. We went to settlement, and he there's inside of every comic book, there's one page. It's called the splash page. And that's the page that tells the whole story of what you're about to read on one page. So he bought the comic book, and he said, your son's name's Braden, right? And I said, yeah. And so he wrote to Braden, Dave Michelinie, and I put it in a plastic. We still have that. Well, that was the last time he was writing Spider-Man, because the next month he was writing Superman. He gave me the first issue that he did of Superman.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
And he also did it for my attorney, who's my good friend. He gave him a copy as well. So that's where you don't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, just because you think somebody is like something other than you hope, don't think that's the case. And I always go back, Lee, to something I had heard when I first got in real estate from Howard. There was a guy named Joe Pine. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was a television talk show host like Johnny Carson. He lost his leg in Korea, and he went on to get into broadcasting. Well, he had Frank Zappa on as his guest, and this is back in the late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, obviously Frank Zappa was of the mothers of invention, but was also a Mensa. And when he sat down, Joe Pine, who was very sarcastic, said to him, he said, I see you have long hair. You must be a girl. And Frank Zappa immediately said back to him, I see you have a wooden leg. You must be a table. And so when I heard that story, I thought, that's like, don't, you know, preconceived notions are going to kill you in this real estate business. Well, that's the one story.
And we see it happening still. I mean, think about how many realtors you've coached and trained who make assumptions based on somebody's accent or the name on the caller ID or any of those things. And or my favorite is when we get a call from somebody who asks questions about renting a property. And most realtors that I've had the opportunity to work with assume that they are actually renters, and so we don't work with them, and forgetting that if you would ask a few more questions, you might find out they are 3-month renters or 6-month renters who are trying to get acclimated before they pull the trigger, or maybe they're just trying to trust you. So all of these go through asking good questions. I mean, what would you have missed out on if you hadn't asked Dave why he called you? You might never have known the writing connection, which gave you a lifetime connection.
And that's $500,000 sale. And he introduced me to the illustrator of Superman, whom I sold a house to as well. The guy's name was Brett Breeding, and he's still an illustrator. So, I mean, you're seeing things that are interesting. And I always remember there was a Remax broker. His name was Joe Clement. I don't know if you know him.
I love Joe. He's one of my favorite humans on the planet. I love that man.
Well, in his office, a guy in his office was telling me that he walked into the office and said, I don't know if it was Joe that was in the office at the time or assistant manager. And he said, and manager says, said, what's wrong? He said, what is this guy, the couple I'm dealing with? He said, they don't have a job and they want a house. And the guy says, well, did you ask if he has any money? Ask him. And he said, no. He said, go ask him. So he went and asked me, I had money. And then a couple of minutes later, he walks past and he's got this big grin on his face. And he goes, well, what happened? He said, the reason I have a job is because they're rich. How many people would have taken the extra step to ask the question? Howard's relayed that story 100 times. But it's
such a basic, but we forget it because we move so fast sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Now, a second story that was really interesting is I was partnered with this gal back in the beginning days of my career, a gal named Jane, who I ended up marrying for a short period of time, and it didn't work out, and we're best friends now. We see each other all the time with Betsy. But we're showing a house, and it's interesting because back then, alcohol was part of real estate. Thank God it's not now. Every Friday, a lot of the agents would meet at one of the offices. We'd have a happy hour. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have popcorn and you'd have a beer or a cocktail and talk about what happened in your week. So Jane and I are showing this property, little townhouse, the first time home buyers. And the husband comes out. I'm with the wife going one way. Jane's with the husband. And they come out and they're giggling. And they, what are you giggling about? I said, come here. And the vent, like the heat air conditioning vent, the little grate there, mm-hmm. had a hole in it. And there was a camera lens and it was pointing to the bed.
Oh.
And they mm-hmm. said, they said, wow. I said, oh my God, they must be shooting porn or something. This is crazy. So we went on with our tour. When we got done, I called the listing agent and I said to him, I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, but if they're trying to sell their house, they shouldn't have a camera facing the bed. So he said, oh, I'll find out about this. So he calls the lady who owned the place. She knew nothing about it.
Oh, she didn't?
No. So he goes over to the house and they go up in the attic and there's the cameras there and there's three VCRs. I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember those on your podcast, but they were all set on timers, like early in the morning and then at night. And then there was an electric line that was run down the outside and hooked into the neighbor's electric. Well, it was a divorce. He was a pretty, you know, everybody knew who this guy was getting a divorce. You know, and so he was videoing it. He was videoing his estranged wife during those particular times. So needless to say, Friday, I called the listing agent. I said, you coming over to happy hour? You know, we're going to have it at like 5:30 at the Milltown office. He said, no, why don't you come with me? I said, where are you going? He goes, I got 2 6-packs of beer. We're going over and sit in her attic.
Oh, my God.
But now that's crazy. Now, they did get in trouble and arrested him. But that it's creepy, crazy. But it's stuff like that, as you know, happens in this business.
But you look at that one. So it's beyond the bizarre creepiness of the situation. But as an observant realtor, you actually found something that ultimately protected the homeowner, because we have, it's amazing to me how many homeowners have zero idea what's happening in their own houses. Like,
exactly.
They don't know that there's rotted wood. They don't know that there's major leaks. They don't know all these things that are happening. And so she's got this wire running down her house, a camera in her bedroom, but she's just coming home and living and going back out to work. So you take that situation and realize it's a really big deal when we're observant. It's not just us trying to beat somebody up for a negotiation price.
Right.
It's crazy.
It brings a new definition to, if you see something, say something.
Right. Especially nowadays. I mean, I Lord, the internet is full of creepy people.
It absolutely is. But there's so many times that we've gotten into situations where you want to giggle. Lastly, I was doing a house. We were getting ready for a pre-settlement inspection, and we sent this gal over to do the pre-settlement because I had a conflict. We had another settlement, and she went into the – she was brand new in the business, 2 weeks in the business. All she was going to do was walk through with the buyer, and everything's fine. And she walked in, and the buyer was sitting in a chair, and he was dead, and he had like a needle sticking out of his arm. First thing came to my mind was, well, did she get his arm and sign the deed? No. She
and, he wasn't and, cold yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that, I mean, no, she was not in real estate too much longer after that because of, I guess, it didn't
suit her.
Oh, I
figured it was going to mean she was like now a 20-year survivor because she figured she can get over anything. But I guess if you can't get past that, get out now.
She was out the door, but that actually happened, and that was a strange sign of thing.
But you know, so we'll take her as our wrap-up example of why some people don't make it in real estate. We don't talk enough about why people get out of this business, except for the fact that, you know, they go broke because it's a very expensive business to be in, even though the public tends to think we just make lots of money without doing anything. There's so many expenses involved, but the sheer craziness of what happens or could happen, or holy crap, have you seen this? I've never seen that before, because as a head broker, my agents be like, hey, have you seen anything like this? I'm like, nope, not until you brought it in, because every day there's something just as bizarre as a dead person in the house. And if you don't have the personality to stay calm enough to help somebody work through it, knowing that there's a bigger end goal in mind, then you can't do this business. It takes a special personality. It really does.
Well, it's all the hats we have to wear.
Right.
And you're absolutely correct. I mean, I can remember when we were teaching and you were in a class, all the stories that people came up with, I'm thinking, wow, that's never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're in it for years and years. So there's always something new around the corner. It's going to happen. Just what you have to do is stop, think, and act.
Instead of act, think, right. And stop.
Exactly. Exactly.
So as we wrap up our episode here, because it's always really short, I just do want to give a shout out, because You listening, people, you have to know, Buddy was one of the first people I learned from in the business. I had been in real estate for 1 month when my dad sent me to a 2-day intensive class on how to handle buyers, and Buddy was one of the instructors, and this was in a system called Star Power, which is defunct now, but if you can come across any of the interviews or materials from the Star Power system, beg, borrow, and steal them away from a retiring agent, because you can't replace that level of knowledge, because it was an experience where people shared the best of themselves and then the things not to do so that others could achieve. And I'm honored that 17 years later, Buddy and I can call each other friends and colleagues. And there's a power in being associated with other people that look to lift the whole real estate profession up. So if you're not taking classes, you got to take them. Maybe you know everything, but there'll be one something you learn that makes it worthwhile, even if it is to become cohorts with the instructor and learn how to give back. But Buddy, I thank you for all you've done for all these years to make other realtors not just profitable, but more professional. And also, you're very gifted at helping people learn how to laugh at themselves. And we need that desperately in this business.
And if they want to reach out to me, they can reach out to me at buddywest@buddywest.com.
And of course, if you're sweating to the oldies or driving down the road, we will have all of Buddy's contact information, including phone numbers if you're an old-fashioned person, in the show notes for this episode. Buddy, thank you for showing up on the show and providing some stories and for all that you do in the industry.
Thank you and love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
And if the rest of y'all out there want to be friends with us, reach out to me with your own crazy story, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or just a homeowner or home seller who has been through the ringer yourself, at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks. Subscribe for more episodes and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.